storms of life blow in and blow out. The scripture says you don't even know where the wind's going to come from. One day it could be blowing this way, and the next minute it could be blowing towards you. I mean, if you feel that the wind is blowing contrary to your sails, turn the boat around. I mean, then the sails will catch and you'll take off. But sometimes those winds are tumultuous. And Ephesians, the 4th chapter, said that they're tossing us to and fro, and folks are being carried away by every wind of teaching, and they're being entertained by the tricks of men. So when those winds blow, if you're listening to teaching that is contrary to Jesus, that's the only message that I have for you, is Jesus. But if there's a message that's contrary to his love, to his forgiveness, to his grace, then people get carried away with that. And when the storms of life come, it's like the old song that I sang in children's church, when the rains came down, the house on the sand went. That's what we said, and we'd smack our hands. But if you have been planted, realize that you've been planted, then the waves. Just let me give you point number one. You are a planted tree. That's who you are. You are a planted tree. Psalms 1, verse 3 says, "You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does prospers." How many of you want to just take that scripture right there and fold it up and meditate on it and believe that you are a planted tree by the waters, and your fruit is, you're bearing fruit in every season. The leaves on your tree don't wither, and whatever you do is prospering. I'll just take that right there as a word from God, and I will believe that everything that my hands touch will prosper. That I'm blessed in the city, and I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed in my coming, I'm blessed in my going. I'm blessed all around. Why? Because I'm a child of God and he's blessed his children. Trees have roots. There's a root system to the trees. Roots anchor the tree. Rooted means to render firm or fixed, to cause a person or a thing to be thoroughly grounded and immovable. That's what we need when the winds of the storms of life blow, is to know that we have a root system that has caused us to be immovable. But when we're not aware of that, and we're not consciously aware of that, when the winds do blow and the tricks of men come, we're just carried away. And then it seems like we've drifted from God, when in all reality you haven't. I hope to show you that this morning. Roots function as an organ of absorption, aeration, and food storage, and as a means of nutritional support. So we need to know what our roots are in to find out how we can get spiritually nutrients and have this food stored up for strength and support. They bring oxygen to the plant. I like this. And it helps relieve toxins. There are a lot of toxins that want to and can poison our mind that affects our root system. And those roots that don't take hold are because of a wrong mindset. Just my personal opinion, you can take it or you can leave it. But my personal opinion is this teaching, or this every wind of doctrine, is anything that's contrary to the love of God. And I'm hearing a lot of people say, well, you're just preaching sloppy agape. Or you listen, love never fails. No matter what situation you're in, love, mercy triumphs over judgment. But when we get a doctrine or a teaching that's blowing us away, then we're judgmental towards people. We don't operate in love, and we wonder why life is hell. It's a doctrine and a teaching that's contrary to the love of God. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, turn with me to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. I want to read from the Mirror Translation because it's a commentary within the verse. And sometimes when we read the verse, especially if we would read it from like King James, I just walk away sometimes going, well, I don't speak Old English from 1611, and it just is confusing to me sometimes. So I want to try to make it as plain as I can, so I want to give commentary with the scripture. But I'm giving you the reference from Ephesians, the third chapter, for you to go home and study. Look at it in different translations. If you want to use a Greek lexicon, use the Blue Letter Bible on the internet. It will give you the Strong's Concordance and all types of things to study with. But the Mirror Bible, Francis Dutoit, says, this will ignite your faith to fully grasp the reality of the indwelling Christ, Christ in you. I love what he says next. You are rooted and founded in love. Love is your invisible inner source, just like the root system of a tree and the foundation of a building. Now, look at me for just a second and watch. The root system is invisible. It's underground, and you can't see the root system, but it's there. I'll tell you when you know that the root system is there is when those storms and battles of life come. And if we're just breaking apart and falling apart at the seams and we don't have any hope, you've not realized that your root system goes deep. That inner man, the indwelling of God himself in the form of his spirit, lives inside of every believer. That's your root system. In his love that's dwelling on the inside of you, you receive your strength, your help. It removes toxins. It provides oxygen. It absorbs. We should be like a sponge soaking in every word that he speaks about who we are and who he is and who we are in him. Just soaking it in, because that's what brings strength to those roots. He goes on to say, I desire you to become intimately acquainted with the love of Christ on the deepest possible level, far beyond the reach of mere academics. I'm not just telling you about a love of God so that you can walk away and regurgitate academically that God loves me. But I'm talking at the deepest possible dimension that you will understand the love that Christ has for you. Within the scope of the equation, God finds the ultimate expression of his image and likeness in you. Now, I can't see your spirit. I believe that our spirits are whole, well, and healed. I can look at a frail person that is sick in their body, but if they have believed, then I know that their spirit man is whole, well, and healed. That invisible part where the indwelling Christ is, where they receive their strength, that's what I'm talking to you about. That seed has been planted in you. The garden is in you. And you are a tree planted with deep roots in the love of God. Anybody getting this? So that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, awaken to the consciousness of your closeness. I'm going to say that again, and I want you to get a hold of that. Awaken to the consciousness of your closeness. Separation is an illusion. Read Romans, the 8th chapter. Oneness with God's idea was God's idea all along. That was his original design. Ephesians, the 1st chapter, tells us that before he created the earth, we were in Christ. And we've never been separated from Christ. Now, I believe that you have to awaken to that. You have to believe that. You don't receive the benefits. You don't walk in the access of those benefits without believing. And here's another thing. It's already true about you. You believing it doesn't make it true. It's already true. Okay? But when you awaken to it and you become aware of it, that their separation is an illusion, and that this was God's idea all along, Father, Son, and Spirit desire to express themselves, listen, through your touch, through your voice, through your presence. He is the happiest at home in you. There's no place in the universe he'd rather be than in you. Why? Because that was his original design intent. That he would dwell in a temple not made by hands. Touch your body and say, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple was always the dwelling place of God. When you look at the temple in the Old Covenant, it was the dwelling place of God where the Shekinah of glory rested. Now you are the temple of God where the Shekinah of glory makes its home in the hearts of man. Colossians, the second chapter, verse 7 says, your spiritual roots go deeply into his life as you are continually infused with strength. You're encouraged in every way, for you are established in the faith that you have absorbed and enriched by your devotion to him. Remember, I was talking about the trees, the root system absorbs. We're absorbing by faith all that he has to offer us, and our spiritual roots go deep into his life. Then, in studying this, I found an old covenant scripture. See, when I go to the Old Testament, I want to see Jesus. Because Psalms tells us that the volumes of the book are written about him. Genesis to Revelation. One place, John says that if everything that Jesus said and did had been written down, the books of all of the libraries in the world couldn't contain what he said and did. So when we just get a knowledge about this much, we're just tapping into, he's so vast. He's so multifaceted. Who can know him? But he lives on the inside of you. Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verses 7 and 8 in the Amplified. Blessed with spiritual security. I could stop right there and say, thank you, Jesus. I have security. Blessed or spirit with spiritual security is the man who believes and trusts in and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confident expectation is in the Lord. For he will be nourished like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. Underline that. No fear when the heat is turned up. But its leaves will be green and moist, and it will not be anxious and concerned in the year of drought. Underline that. No anxiety when there's a drought. And then it says, nor will it stop bearing fruit. Underline that. Three things there. Being rooted in Christ means three things. No fear when the heat comes. Remember Matthew, the 13th chapter, where it talks about the sower and the seed, and it said some seed fell upon the ground and it took no root. And then what happened? When the sun came up, when the heat came up, what happened? It got scorched. It got scorched for one reason. Why? Didn't have any roots. But you have been rooted and grounded in Christ and in his love, so you have roots. There's no fear when the heat is turned up. Matter of fact, knowing that we are a tree planted and that our roots go deep, we can be shade to those who are in hell. When the sun comes up against people because of their own decisions, because of way they've chose to go, we're not there to criticize and to judge. We remember that we are a tree planted, our roots go deep, and then our leaves can be a shade to those that are scorching in the heat. And then they'll want to know, how come you can be a shade to me in the heat? Because my roots are deep in Christ. Number two, being rooted means no anxiety in the year of drought. I remember a few weeks ago, Bonnie leaned up to me and said, the drought is over. I said, praise God. Hallelujah, I'll take that. But somebody else's drought might just be starting. And when there's a drought, there's usually a famine connected to the drought. But I'm in Bethel, the house of God. And if you go to Bethlehem, that's the house of bread. And I'm in the house of God where he is the living bread and there is no drought, so I don't have any anxiety. He said that no matter what season, your leaves will not wither. When our roots are planted in Christ and we are awakened to the love of God and that we're not separated from him, and he just doesn't love me on my good days, but he loves me on my bad days too, and I'm still bearing fruit and I'm still have leaves on my tree and I'm being prosperous, it's not because I've acted good, it's because he already did good on my behalf. And then number three, I'm going to hammer this home. Because I'm rooted, it means that I'm always prosperous. I'm not going to ever stop bearing fruit. I know it goes contrary to what you might think, because I believe that God is good all the time, but really what my mind is says, I'm only good when I'm good. Or God's only good when I'm good. No, God's good all by himself. Your behavior, my thought patterns have nothing to do with his goodness towards his people. Deep roots bear much fruit. I'll show that to you in just a minute in Galatians, the 5th chapter. But deep roots, we don't need a deep word from God. We just need the word to go deep. The word, I mean, Lisa sent me a little meme last night and says, I love the word of God and I like my Bible too. Because the word of God is Christ. He's the seed. Remember, the word was sown. That seed is Christ, and it's sown in my heart, and I want that word to go deep. A grounded person is reliable, unshakable, unwavering, humble, worry-free. A grounded person stands up for what is right when everything else is going wrong. They don't conform so others will like them. And they always encourage others to succeed. Here's something else I want you to write down. Look at the screen. The grace of God is the only good ground for your life. When we're sowing our wild oats, if you will, the grace of God is the only good ground for your life. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Verse 9 says, do not be swayed by distracting speculations. Any influence foreign to what grace communicates, even if it seems very interesting and carries the Christian label. Did you hear that? If it's foreign to what grace communicates, even if it is entertaining and carries the Christian label, shun it. Feast on grace. Let me say it another way. Feast on Jesus. Let me say it another way. Eat more lamb. Nothing but mutton. Feast on grace. Do not dilute your diet with legalism. It's like, you're hearing grace, but then just let me sprinkle some legalism on it to keep you under control. That's the only reason pastors will preach law and legalism, is to have control over you. I don't need any control over you because I can't override the Holy Spirit. And I've surrendered my life, Holy Spirit. I believe you've surrendered your life to Holy Spirit, so do what he tells you to do, and we're all going to be in good shape. But feast on grace. Don't dilute it with your diet of legalism. There is no nourishment left in the law. What's the use in being busy but not blessed? The law will keep you busy, but the law in and of itself, you can't keep it and it won't bless you. It does not produce life. And matter of fact, it produces the opposite. If you're trying to obey and obey and obey, you're going to fall short. And the end there is death. So there's no nourishment in trying to put your roots in obeying any type of system that demands some type of performance from you. Legalism includes any form of self-sacrifice or self-effort with the illusion of gaining further favor from the Father or improving your spiritual standing before God. Your spiritual effort and sacrifice doesn't do that. I mean, matter of fact, God said, I've never desired sacrifice. That's not what he desired. The knowledge of God's love to you is the root system on which all other truths are based. So until you can understand and allow your roots to go deep into the love of God, all other truths to you seem like untruth, and we buy into a lie because we're not rooted in the love of God. Now see, what I'm telling you are things that are already true about you. When you believed, your roots went deep into the love of God. It's just like I believe that you are a son of God. You've been forgiven of all of your sins, not when you asked, but when Christ died. But it's not true to you until you release your faith to believe that what he did in his finished work caused your roots to go deep in him and into his love. Now you're awakened to that, you're consciously aware of that, and all other truths come out of that one truth about the love of God for you. Perhaps many of us are assaulted by temptations that we can't seem to shake. I'm not talking to anybody. Maybe you carry a sense of never measuring up, or of unworthiness, or I'm not good enough, leading to a fear that the enemy is going to trap you and trip you up, and you're going to fail God. Could I prophesy to you that this be the day that you wake up to God's unfailing love? It's not just a song that we sing. Even though Lisa posted it yesterday on Facebook, and the lyrics are, in death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of his great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from his great love. Because your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. And we will sing a song that nothing separates our hearts from the love of God. But as soon as we make a mistake, we feel like that God has left us. And our mind plays tricks on us, and the enemy assaults us and attacks us and said, and so then we go on this journey looking for God somewhere out there, and out of our own works and performance trying to reach God, when all along he's never left you, he's right here. And so if I know that the love of God and I'm rooted in that, then I look inwardly and say, Holy Spirit, minister to me. In John 15, Jesus declares that he is the authentic vine and that the Father is the gardener. We established that last week. And that we are the branches. John 15, 1 through 14. Our seamless oneness, me in Christ, Christ in me, is pictured in the vine and the branches. The branch cannot bear fruit outside of itself. This really here clicked for me, and this is when I connected dots, and this is like, oh, that was an aha moment. I've never been called to produce fruit. I've been told that I was called to produce fruit. I've been told that I need to work and my life need to be a certain way so that I could produce fruit. And for 37 years, I tried everything I could to produce fruit. I'm not a producer. I'm a bearer. In its abiding in the vine, fruit happens naturally. As with your abiding in me, Christ said. I am the vine, you are the branches. It is the one who understands this mutual union that naturally bears fruit, which is impossible to happen apart from God. So if we don't have our root system, the vine can, with the branches connected to the vine, and the vine or the tree connected to the root system, you can't produce fruit. Listen, my roots aren't in Adam. My roots aren't in Judaism. My roots aren't in the law of Moses. My roots are in Christ. Now, you can track and you can see a lot of things, and you could understand that, well, Abraham was a father of our faith. Yes, but my roots aren't in Abraham. Thank God that Abraham, because he believed, it was counted unto him to righteousness, but he didn't go to the cross. He didn't give his life to me The one who was faithful was Christ. And because of his faith in what the Father had given him to do as an assignment, and him carrying out that and being obedient to that, that's what brings me life. That he's the one that gives me life. So my roots are in Christ. God does not want your heart full of worries and fears, tossed and turned to every challenge that comes your way. He wants your heart at rest and established in grace. So, your performance doesn't produce fruit. Your roots in his love causes you to bear the fruit that he produces. If you were ever in Sunday school, or if you went to youth group, and hopefully in any church that you attended, you were told about Galatians, the 5th chapter, and let me say it this way, and you can echo with your amen, the fruits of the Spirit. You were taught about the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of self. We called them the fruits of the Spirit, but we wanted self to produce them. No, they're the fruits of the Spirit. Matter of fact, if you'll read your Bible, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Your spirit effortlessly bears the rich harvest of love. The fruit produced by Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all of its varied expressions. I want to read them to you quickly. Joy that overflows. Francis Dutoit writes this, and when he lists the fruits of the Spirit, he wants to tell us they're not just an emotion, there is an action. So joy overflows. There's an action to that joy that's overflowing. It's peace that subdues. It's patience that endures. It's kindness in action. It's a life full of virtue, goodness. It's faith that prevails, and gentleness of heart and strength of the Spirit. Now, when you really break down Galatians 5 and you look at it in the Greek, and we see a word that says self-control. The word self is never used in the Greek there. Don't know how we got to self-control out of that, but it's really strength of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is his strength in us, and we bear that strength. And if we will yield to the Spirit, we will have self-control. Does that make sense? Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Quality of these fruits, the expressions of the varied manifestations of the fruit of love. What are our roots in? You've been rooted in love. All these individually reveal the irresistible attraction to the inner life of your original design. They're not fading. They're not fragile. They're not produced by willpower. This is the fruit of what you know in your spirit to be true about who you are. The fruit of the Spirit is effortless, spontaneous, and an expression of the character of the tree planted. Rest in the awareness and the assurance of who you are. Rooted in love, grounded in grace. Would you say that with me? I am rooted in love and grounded in grace. This won't be on the screen, but Isaiah, the 54th chapter, expresses that being rooted in Christ and in his righteousness, we can have the assurance and the access to these benefits. Would you listen as I close? For from the benefits are that you are far from even the thought of oppression, being rooted in Christ. No fear or terror will come near you. Every attack against you will fail. No weapon formed against you shall succeed. Does it sound familiar now? It's because you're rooted in Christ and you are his righteousness. And it says the righteous are like a tree planted, far from the evil. Every thought of oppression, no fear or terror coming near you, every attack failing, and no weapon formed against you shall succeed. Every tongue, this is the one that I deal with most of the time, every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be condemned. This is the inheritance of the sons of the Lord. Root check. Ready for a root check. I see you, tree, standing strong in the storm, the trials, and not being tossed about. I see you, tree, bearing the fruit of the Spirit in all seasons of your life. And I see you, tree, planted with deep roots in the love of God, feasting on His grace and prospering in all things, shade to those in the heat of their own hell, and leaves that are healing to the nations. I believe that's who you are in Christ. As you stand, would you meditate? What is your status of consciousness this morning? Are you aware that your roots are in Christ? If you've not believed unto salvation, and maybe you're not aware, and this morning you want to thank the Lord that He has reconciled you to Himself through the cross of Christ. And as Paul says, you're reconciling yourself to that this morning, and you release your faith to believe in that finished work, that the blood of Jesus has eradicated all of my sin. Can I tell you that the blood of Jesus has no expiration date on it? It has not lost its power. It still reaches to the lowest valley. It can save the one who seems the farthest from God, because in all reality, you're not that far at all from God. Some of us have just lost maybe the enthusiasm, maybe the awareness of what you once had, and that your roots are still deep in Christ, and you just want to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, and be encouraged in the Lord this morning. Would you just bow your heads and imagine yourself as that tree? I've been imagining the root system under the ground, that invisible part, my spirit man, with deep roots this morning, bearing much fruit, prosperous in all that I do. It's amazing how much life gets easier and better when I think on those things, when I see myself as that tree. I believe that this morning it would be vital for some of you to make a trip down here.